Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to this edition of the Smoking Weed and Talking MMA podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by the Las Vegas Marijuana Experience. If you're coming out to Vegas, you're curious about legal weed, maybe you don't know that much about it, check out their website. It's thelvme.com. Click the links to the YouTube channel. You'll find all sorts of cool information. You might see a familiar face or two. It's the Las Vegas Marijuana Experience. Speaking of marijuana, my name is Jared. That's my co-host there.
What up?
Paul is firing up some Durban Poison right now, grown by local hip-hop artist Dizzy Wright. This is branded herb, Vegas native. Durban Poison is one of my favorite strains, Paul. This shit's one of the last true sativas on the market. Excited to try this. How's it taste, dude?
It's fucking nice.
Yeah, nice. Hell yeah, I'm going to pass that back for now. We also got some shatter we're going to be hitting today, along with some CBD isolate, too, here in this fine little dab rig. Got the e-nail going.
Yep.
And we are coming off a effing great weekend of fights, aren't we, Paul? We had International Fight Week out here.
Yeah.
We had the
fucking good one.
Fuck yeah, we had the tough finale, UFC 226. As soon as we get this joint burning good, we'll get that fucking smoking better, too.
It's running like it's cutting weight.
Right. You know, the last joint I picked up did the exact same thing. It gets annoying. Oh, hell yeah. This Durban Poison's the shit, though.
I'll got give this over this, though. Even though it's, like, running hella bad, it's fucking... It's not burning fast at all. No, the paper's nice burning fast, burn. But the weed's not.
Right?
It's perfect. Nice. But yeah, it was a fucking intense weekend, man, full of events. We had two separate cards, UFC Fan Expo, Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame ceremony.
Yeah, that was a good time. Yep. There was a lot of shit going down this weekend, man.
You went to the Hall of Fame. Yeah, you went to the Hall of Fame ceremony. What did you think of that, Paul?
It was pretty cool. I'll give you this, though, the inductees. Couple of speeches were like a little much.
Like who specifically?
Like what's his
like name? What did you think of Art the UFC the original guy Art Davis. Yeah.
Art Davies. Bro, his shit was like fuck you the UFC basically.
Really?
Like it was weird. It was like not really, but like it was just like one of those like he was very like I don't know, he just came off like oh,
a little bit bitter,
and like it was like this was his chance to like tell his half, you know what I mean?
Well, I could understand. I mean, what did he sell the UFC for? It was really cheap. I want to think it was like $2 million.
What was that? He gave up on the idea before it really turned into something.
No, absolutely. And also, the Fertitta sunk in like $47 million after buying it for $2 million. So, you know, it was a huge investment. It was more than just that money that they got paid. But
it was strange.
So he came across like he was trying to take some credit, like this is my baby, I started it.
Well,
right?
No, he literally goes, you know what they say, when your kids grow up, you're supposed to let them go and see what they do in the world. But guess what? I let my little kid go and he went and took over the fucking world. That's how he ended his speech. I was like, all right, man.
Wow.
Like, cool.
Interesting. And then, of course, the big name.
I got this cool-ass shirt.
That is a pretty dope shirt,
dude.
Cool-ass
UFC shirt. It's pretty badass.
It's the old-school UFC logo for those of you that are listening and not watching.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty sick, dude.
Yeah, it was a pretty good time, man. We got to fucking go in the octagon.
Yep. That was pretty nice. Yeah, went to the UFC Fan Expo, so SWAT MMA was well-represented for 2 days there.
Yeah, we met some fucking fighters, too. We met Benavidez, Kevin Gastelum,
Curtis Blades,
Sergio Pettis. Sergio Pettis is fucking. Him and his brother are fucking twins, dog. Like they look so alike. It's like
they're both really cool. I met Anthony a few years ago out here as well. He was super nice, and Sergio was really cool, man.
He's, yeah,
you know, we talked for a bit. Seemed really nice meeting folks. It's not easy standing there and meeting fans and doing that shit all day. That's hard work, man.
Yeah.
And for them I'd to do that, it's super cool.
Like, yeah. I would kill those motherfuckers.
Not everybody's cool like me and you, Paul. Shit. There's a lot of assholes out there.
I would kill motherfuckers if I was at that fucking expo. Some of those people are like so like, just no fucking...
Just no manners.
Well, not even no appreciation. It's just no like respect of personal space.
Right.
Like, you'll be like... going to walk towards a line and someone will just cut in front of you just to get like two fucking people in front of you to see a motherfucker who's been sitting there for hours and is gonna give you the same thing he's gave everybody else, you know? Right. Like, literally, he's gonna shake your hand like, hey, nice to meet you, take a picture with you. That's fucking there. That's what they're there for. There's no reason to be a dickhead about it, cut people off and like fucking, you know, it's just stupid.
You know how it is. Everybody's like that in society. So yeah, aside from a lot of rude attendees and UFC fans, the fighters themselves were very, very cool to
us. Yeah, they all were hella
nice.
UFC
staff is very nice out there at these events.
I only met Tony Ferguson because he was on the main stage and we didn't have like the access pass to the main stage. And the fucking, he was walking towards VIP and like people started swarming him. And I was kind of in the back. He fucking took pictures with every single person that was standing there. He was hella cool about it. He's cool, dude.
Yeah, that's really nice when they do that type of thing. So they don't have to do those little extras that like that.
Yeah, fuck that.
That's cool. UFC made it a pretty cool experience for the fans out here in Vegas. You know, if any of you listening were out here, I'm sure you had a good time as well.
Yeah,
been to a few of these over the years. It's changed a lot. You know, it used to be a paid thing to get into the expo. They had vendors there. It was a lot more fighters because they had sponsors back then.
Yeah, so, before it was like everyone had sponsors and it would just be like...
Yeah, they'd have sponsor booths that would pay for a fighter to be there for a sports cream or a drink or whatever.
Now that the UFC is like commercialized and now it all has like its own sponsors that everybody is sponsored by, it's kind of like, oh, here's... literally how it was, you know, it was like, here's Joseph Benavidez and the Motel 6.
Right, the Motel 6 autograph booth.
Yeah, or the Body Armor, it was Modelo, Body Armor.
Yeah, Modelo's there, Body Armor, Monster Energy.
Monster, and then what
Motel
was it?
6 is a weird sub
Motel
sponsor.
6. Who else was it? It was one more. Oh, Metro PCS.
Metro PCS, yep.
But it was all cool, though, like, all the fighters were real nice. Got some cool pictures.
Lots of cool pictures.
Yeah.
Hella hot out here. Oh, then on Friday night, I brought us into it was a great main event.
Yeah.
On the tough finale. But I ain't going to lie. Leading up to that main event, that was one of the longest cards I've ever sat through.
How fucking long were we at that PT's, dude?
Oh, man. We went to a local bar for this one instead of watching it at home. And man, did it drag on.
Dude, we might have been there for a good, 5 hours.
There's a lot of talk on Twitter about the length of that car, too. I hope when we get these new ESPN cards,
not such long cards.
Please do something about this pacing. It's brutal. It is absolutely brutal.
Well, and there's nothing in between.
No.
It's just, all right, and next.
So,
which it
be nice.
Should be, but at the same time, we don't need 12 fight cards, you know?
That
there doesn't need to be a fucking fight pass prelim, a prelim, a main card, you know? Like,
no.
There should be, give me just prelim and a main card. Give me, like, what, 2 or 3 on the prelim and give me about 4 on the main and we'll be good.
Maybe they'll switch that up a bit because I don't know if they're going to keep doing the Fight Pass prelims and the ESPN Plus.
Well, technically, we'll isn't kind of ESPN Plus Fight Pass now?
I heard they're keeping both, but I don't know if they're going to keep putting events on the Fight Pass. It might turn into more of a streaming service, on-demand vehicle service.
I could see that.
You know, I don't know if that's worth $10 a month, though. I mean, how much are MMA fans required to pay?
It's only 6.
It's only 6? They dropped it? I canceled mine a while ago. ESPN's $5.
That's what I'm talking about. ESPN's 6. Yeah. Not UFC. UFC 5 past 10, which I don't mind because there's always that, like, one time when I'm hella faded and I'm just, like, sitting at home and I'm just like, man,
I
want to see Conor knock someone out. Or I want to see John Jones knock someone out. Or I want, you know. I want to watch fucking Clay Guida versus fucking anybody. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's the only cool thing about Fight Pass, but like, I don't know. It is a little over like saturated too with like all the other like leagues that are also broadcast.
Well, speaking of good fights, though, we had a hell of a main event, man. What a showcase for Izzy, as I'm now going to be calling him. Israel Adesanya, man, what a showcase performance that dude put on.
He's like, if John Jones and Anderson Silva had a baby. No, I'm just kidding.
Dude, he was pulling some John Jones-esque moves when he was holding that wrist and then turning it into that elbow.
Well, I'll tell you what, that elbow that busted Tavares over the eye, man. Oh, my God. That was so pinpoint, bro. I'm telling you, my dream fight. This is my dream fight. Is Israel Adesanya versus Michael Venom Page.
Oh, God, yeah.
That's a Wouldn't dream. That
be some sick shit right there.
For real.
Well, I don't think Bellator's letting
Venom
Page go anytime soon.
That was like a real statement win for him there. Because Tavares is like one of those guys who's been around a while. He's in that limbo. He's at that limbo ranking of 8, you know what I mean? Where this is where the opponents that are either one-dimensional or not up to championship par, this is where they end for Israel Adesanya. Now every fight he's going to get into in the next, I don't know, 3 to 4 fights are going to be in the top 5, and they're going to be high stakes.
Yeah, absolutely. But it appears like he can compete just fine. It was a
rare
performance.
If he fights like he did, and he went all 5 rounds. And
got a rare performance of the night bonus on a decision. You don't see that a lot on decision fights, but it was...
Well, when you put on a fucking performance like that, he almost blanked him if he wasn't feeling him out in the first round.
Mm-hmm. That seems to be, you know, his main strategies, you know.
Dude, and he came out with some fucking jiu-jitsu. Mm-hmm. Came out and tried to hit him with that rolling fucking heel hook.
No, that was pretty
sweet. That was sick. He almost had it.
He did.
If he had more time on the clock, I think he would have got him.
I'm excited. I'm happy, man. As fans, that's what we want, right? We need 100%. A new star desperately. Like, please give us some other fucking reason to watch, for God's sake.
Well, and then another one of those guys. Well, I mean, not to give him what he's due, because Adesanya had a great, great, like, fight this weekend, but I feel like he was kind of expected to do that. You know what
I
mean?
There was a lot of people saying that was too much too soon with Brad Tavares.
See, I didn't think so. I think Brad Tavares is a journeyman at the end of the day. And he's one of those guys that is always going to be in that 8-15 ratio, because he's always going to be good enough to beat the not ranked fighters, but he's never going to be good enough to beat the top 5 fighters. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I mean, and I hate to put a label on someone like that, but based on his past, that's kind of where he's trending.
It's no shame being a journeyman in the UFC, which is still the best of the best for the most part. You know, he's a hell of a fighter. But he got outclassed. Really schooled and beat the fuck up. If he wasn't so tough, I mean, I think any other fighters would have been knocked out on several of those. Like when
Izzy caught that kick,
turned into a spinning elbow. I mean, oh man,
yeah, that was nasty. Man,
that was just really
there's something to be said about strikes that you still have your hands up for and they still affect you,
right?
Because there was a lot of those in that fight. Because Israel hit him with a lot of big shots, but a lot of them were getting caught, like, by his hand, but still affecting him, you know what I mean? Like, that elbow, perfect example is, like, when he caught that leg and threw that elbow, Tavares has really good defense, honestly.
Sure he does.
And he just came straight to the shell, and it still fucked him up.
Yeah, you still can't
imagine
take that kind
he
of power
caught
from
that clean.
Oh,
the thing is, that's the thing, is now we're seeing, so far as Adesanya has fought people who have real good defense, I want to see what the fuck happens when he can put that on someone's chin.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? I want to see what's going to happen when he can land those big shots. Because a lot of these fights that he's had in the past, except that first one. The first one that put him on the map was like, it's a fucking beatdown. Mm-hmm. But that second fight was a guy with a lot better defense. He was still landing, but you know what I mean? He never
still
caught, like,
victory,
super
but it wasn't,
clear.
Yeah, and he wasn't happy with that performance either.
I'd like to see Israel. I'd like to see what he can do against, like, a serious other striker. You know what I mean? Like, I'd like to see him. Man, this whole division is just so locked up at this point.
It really is. We have Gastelum Whitaker announced over this weekend.
Yeah, that's going to be
so good. That locks up. Gastelum's at number 5 right now. So that locks
is
him
he?
Up. Yeah.
That's low.
I agree. But yes, you know, these rankings.
Yeah, the rankings are bullshit. But, so there's really only so many fighters he can take. We know Rockhold Romero are locked down for a while. Weidman's not going to take Adesanya. That's a bad fight for him
to
take.
No, he doesn't have any.
He has no dog in that fight.
He was calling for Paul Costas Paulo Costa.
Was he calling for him? Was Costa calling for
him? Izzy was calling with him before the fight. He wanted to fight the winner of the Hall Costas fight, which we're going to talk about here in a few minutes as well.
Well, but I think that's a logical next step for him.
I think that would be good.
Because when you look for, really up in that division, everyone's either, one, not going to gain anything from fighting him, or two, is like, he's not going to gain anything from fighting them. You know what I mean?
Costa's asking for Weidman, but that's crazy.
It's just tough. Yeah. I'm telling you right now, Weidman's next fight is probably going to be Jacare.
More than likely, I agree. I'm happy with that, too.
But that's going to be his next fight because that's a safe fight that he could probably win. And it's a good way to... Another one of those, like, get me back to the title wins. You know what I mean?
Adesanya's got a chance here. If he can get the right fight next with Romero possibly moving up, Rockhold possibly moving up.
Weidman, who knows when he'll fight. Jacare, if he fights Weidman. And then, like, who's really up there that's even worth for them fighting, though? Other than each other. That's the thing. It's like, Dana White was like, oh, I'd love that fight, but it's probably not going to happen. Mm. Honestly, how do you not make that fight if two guys are calling for it? Because they don't want to take away one superstar. They see both these guys probably as being a future title fight. You know what I mean? Which is true. These Costa and fucking Adesanya could easily be a title fight in 2 years from now. You know?
So it would seem.
Maybe sooner than that. Because where... I hate to even make this already. But dude, I don't think Whitaker could take Adesanya either. I think Adesanya is too long for him. And I think if he continues trending the way he is, don't get me wrong, right now if they fought, I think Whitaker would win just based off his fight IQ and championship, like, you know, his championship IQ.
Sure.
But based on the way Adesanya is constantly evolving his game, and we're talking last fight, we're like, oh, he can't wrestle, though. What's going to happen then? And he just went out there and didn't get taken down once. Well, he did take him down once, and he fucking was beating him up from the bottom.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then it almost subs him twice. Like, come on. You can't just ignore those.
No, you can't.
So I think, I don't know, dude. That's the fight. If Adesanya can get his shit together and win two more fights, that's the fight.
I'd love to see that fight, too.
I hate to make that quick of the decision on a guy like that, but he really has shown that he's like high level at this point.
I don't know how you could argue otherwise.
Because I mean, like,
he did exactly what we said that he needed to do, which was either
dominate
or lose.
Although Tavares is a journeyman, Tavares is still a veteran and could fight any guy in the top five.
Oh, absolutely.
No matter, he's not saying that he'd just go out and get starched by these guys. That he just wouldn't win deep down, dig it out fights with these guys. Adesanya, I think, could win a dig it out fight against like a Jacare. I think him and Rockhold, if Rockhold stayed down at 85, I think that's a terrific matchup for him next.
Boy, that'd be an exciting fight.
That'd be a terrific.
I think Rockhold would have to take it. Man, I'd love to see it.
There'd be so much money in that fight. Throw that on November 3rd card.
Mm-mm-mm.
You know?
That'd be fucking sick. I'd love it.
I mean, or you could fight David Branch, but fucking David Branch would just be boring. I think he would just knock David Branch out.
He might. No, David Branch is good. He's a little bit underrated.
Or I mean, he could end up fighting the winner of Antonio Carlos Jr. and Derek Brunson.
That'd be a good fight as well.
That's a good middle of the road fight if you're the UFC and you want to develop him more.
Sure.
But I think if you want him to be a champion, you give him Rockhold next.
I'd love to see him in any of those top guys. It would be very exciting.
But isn't it official though that he's moving to 205?
Last I heard, it was.
Because he was going to fight Gustafsson at 205.
Mm-hmm.
I think that whole gym is moving up now because I think Kane is getting ready to officially announce he's retired. Because you notice, like, all these guys that they talk, when they talk about Kane, and someone asks about retirement, they never answer the question.
Right.
They just go, oh, Kane looks the best I've ever seen him. You know?
And that's not an answer.
That's not an answer. That's That's a Greg Popovich answer for the NBA media. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, it's not a serious answer. I think Kane's getting ready to announce his retirement. That's why DC moved up to heavy. And Rockhold's like, all right, then I'm going to 205. And honestly, we could end up seeing in the near future Nurmagomedov move up to 70.
I wouldn't be surprised with that either. That'd be good as well.
So, yeah, I think it's just the changing of the guard with that whole camp. So, like, because now they're bringing in younger guys, too. Like, they brought that fucking, what's his name? What's his nickname? The guy from the UFC, the Ultimate Fighter. It's a fucking Psycho Bob Ross.
Violent Bob Ross. Violent Bob Ross. Louis Pena. Yeah, absolutely.
He trains with
Pena.
Him now.
Does
so,
he?
Like,
I wasn't aware of that. That dude's out of all those fighters.
Well, maybe
on
he
tough,
doesn't,
like
but
him.
He was rocking with him and on like UFC and better and shit. So mm-hmm. maybe he's training up there now.
That'd be interesting. That'd be a good move.
Yeah. But yeah, I just feel like every fighter is starting to get a little older, and it's getting a little harder for them to keep the weight off and keep the injuries out. You know?
Especially Kane. He's
especially Kane, especially DC. Because DC, for a second there, like, people like to talk shit about Jones, but that the original second fight, DC backed out.
Right.
You know?
Right. The great curse of injuries at AKA.
Yeah. Big fights, man. Just right now, Rockhold could have fought Gustafsson in, what, 3 weeks from now?
Yep.
But no.
The knee. But hey, let's move on to UFC
226. No, it wasn't even the knee. Wasn't he got a huge gash on his leg. I don't remember what the fuck he was doing. But he has, like, I think he has, like, 15 stitches down his calf.
Hmm.
Which is stupid. But, yeah, on to 226.
And a lot of great fights.
Good card.
A lot of great fights. A lot of...
And one of the worst heavyweight fights I've ever seen. The worst.
I was going to say, Paul, just wait. Name me a worse fight than Derek Lewis versus Francis Ngannou.
Freak me a croak out.
You think it was worse than that?
No, but that one, that's another terrible UFC fight.
I mean, it's been a while since I've sat through that torture as well, but...
That was rough, man.
Like, this really that was... rough. I couldn't even listen. I don't know what the excuses were.
That was like a high school gym
fight. I heard
Ngannou
say that he was still scared of Stipe.
That was like a high school gym fight where like both kids are just in each other's face like, well, then you hit me first, bitch. No, you hit me first. I said you hit me, bitch. And that's literally how they were the whole fucking fight. And it was like, oh, I'm going to fake. Oh, I'm going to hit you. Psych. Just kidding. I'm not really going to hit you. How do you go from the most devastating striker in the UFC to throwing 11 strikes in an entire fight?
I don't know. Dana threw him under the bus, too. Said his ego was out of control.
Dude. Stipe just straight Ollie Foreman'd his ass.
And Ngannou came out and said he was still dealing with fear from his last fight, I believe is how he worded it.
Bro. Oh. He is fucking forming his ass,
done.
Bro.
He might be done. And I assume Derek Lewis is saying he has something wrong with his back. I mean, the guy was grabbing it mid-fight.
Well, yeah, and then
I didn't listen.
On Embedded also, he was getting massages all week, so I don't doubt it. He probably came into this with something not wrong with his back. But you, when you're Derek Lewis and you're this close to a title shot, do you go to the fucking hospital? Fuck no.
No.
You say, shoot me up. Let's get
it
going.
You get out there and you do enough to get the W.
Yeah, exactly.
Which he did ultimately, but god damn.
So I have a question. Are painkillers considered... would pop up on those USADA tests?
They'd pop up on a post-fight. Yeah. Or pre-fight and post-fight.
What if they're getting shot up, though?
Yeah, they'd have to have an exemption. Because definitely a painkiller would fall under a ban. Because you can't even take Tylenol, Advil, aspirin within a 12-hour window of the fight.
Really?
Yeah, because that's when they do the pre-fight and the post-fight drug tests are within 12 hours. And you can't take any of those.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so if he was having back problems, like maybe he could do something midweek, perhaps. But he definitely couldn't do anything before the fight to take care of his back. Not like the NFL where they just inject your
fucking...
ass up and send you out.
No. Didn't Pacquiao get in trouble for that when he fought Mayweather?
Yeah, something sounds about right about that. But yeah, no, he couldn't have been.
Which is worse, because then that means he was just in pain all week, and he's just
trying to get pain all week out. And tight and massaged up, and then hurting in the fight too. Like, I get it.
Probably why he had weight cutting issues, and he couldn't make weight because he probably couldn't get the fuck around. Yeah,
I mean,
he squeaked
into the heavyweight by a half a pound. I mean, he's 264 and a half, and we all seen him in the sauna.
Yep.
I mean, Jesus, dude. Although he didn't look out of shape or nothing, but
those big dudes, back problems. Those big old guys, dude, you fucking pull your back out.
Oh, yeah, for real. Dude,
you're down for a few days, maybe weeks. I get it.
And I get why he wouldn't pull out of the fight, but that doesn't...
Yeah, it was the biggest fight of his career on the biggest card of the year. You can't back out.
Did Ngannou have an excuse? Because I haven't heard one other than it was fear from his last fight. Like, I mean, I'm not mocking. He's a bad motherfucker, but I mean, come on, dude. Maybe he doesn't have it anymore.
The only highlight of the entire fight was Derek Lewis's switch kick.
Dude, that switch kick was sick. When he threw that first one, we were like, oh,
what the fuck? Derek Lewis just, literally, Rogan goes, what the? Derek Lewis just threw a switch kick.
That was sick, dude. He's a big boy to be throwing that. That was beautiful.
If Ngannou wasn't so fucking scared for his life and had his hands down, he probably would have went night-night.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was pretty awesome. But that's sad, and that's the whole highlight. Well, he did a switch kick in round one.
Honestly, I think both those fighters lost more than anybody gained in that fight.
Even Lewis admitted it. He said after that fight, he believes he's further away from a title shot.
Is he, though?
I doubt it. It's the right thing to say, though.
It's the right thing to say. It's a pity move. It's like, oh, man, I just got five wins in a row, and you won't give me a title shot because I only threw 15 strikes. Sorry. Man, shut the fuck up, dude. You ain't sorry about that shit. Your fucking back hurts, so you survived against the most dangerous striker in the division. That's just what it is. You got the win. Sometimes it takes just getting it done. You know what I mean?
Well, it's boring, that.
But he still got it done.
You got it done. But hey, let's talk about some good fights on there. How about your boy, dude, Curtis Millender, man?
Millender fucking came out there.
Boy, was that a showcase.
Showing everybody that was no fucking fluke against Alves, and he's here to fucking stay, bro.
Yeah, he put the whooping on Max Griffin, and that was...
He is a serious contender.
His size and reach.
Yeah.
Dude, he was really
impressive.
Dude, that
fucking 170 division is fucked right now. It's just sharks. Straight sharks.
Absolutely.
There's some good fights for him in that division I'd like to see.
I would too. There's a lot of good fights across that whole division. I mean, we have Mike Perry.
You think he ends up he ends up ranked after this? Because you had Mike Perry who just lost Max Griffin when he was ranked.
Yeah.
So that had to put Max Griffin at least close to being ranked. Although,
I would think so.
Although he was not ranked, it had to put him at least up there in that like last tier of guys that are about to...
I think Perry was ranked 10th when he lost that fight to Griffin.
So, let's say Millender put on a great performance, shut him out, basically. I don't know how one of those was 29-28.
It's ridiculous.
But, So, he just put on a show, you know, and I think he ends up being ranked after this.
He should be. He was... That was
scares me, because if he's ranked low, he's going to end up fighting somebody like Cowboy and just fucking hurting them. Like, bad.
That'd be a terrible fight for Cowboy. I hope that doesn't happen.
Cowboy is full of terrible fights right now.
Seems to be one right after the other.
Is he on four losses in a row?
I mean, that last fight he was sick, I guess. I understand he didn't pull out.
Oh, wait, no. He had that win against Yancy Medeiros in the middle.
Yeah, he beat Medeiros in the middle of that.
So he had two losses, a win, and then two losses?
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's time for him to go, man.
But Millender looked good.
Maybe we get Perry Millender next, because now you got Perry who gets a big win there. Millender gets a big win right there. He just beat Max Griffin, you know.
Yeah,
Perry's got ties. That'd be a good fight right there.
He looked so improved. Let's talk about that for a minute. I think he did.
Did he, though?
Because he improved in ways that are very difficult for a fighter to improve, He improved.
He improved mentally.
Physically,
did he improve?
He added those little teep kicks, which were nice, and he added some strategy. And strategy is physical too, because he has to hold his body in check. He has to hold his brain in check in the fight, and he has to be able to execute a game plan out there, which is a physical execution. He didn't get out there and get controlled by his emotions. He's an emotional guy.
Stay with me.
Hold on.
Did he improve in this fight?
Yes.
Or were all his other fights where is he under? Underimproving,
underperforming.
Underperforming. That's what I feel like. That he's always had flashes of that, constantly.
Well, yeah, I think he's always. But now had he's that finally
tapped
sure.
that potential. Is what I
mean. He tapped that potential because he went to Jackson Wink and he got his ego in check.
True.
And he came out there and he even said it. Like, he came out there. He didn't act like he fucking knew everything. I mean, his girlfriend was part of his coaching and training team. You need to take a call. Shit happens, man. Phone's going off. But I mean, his girlfriend was part of his coaching squad, his training. Didn't he say he was training out of his garage?
Yeah, he said he was training out of his garage, which is what I'm saying. He's always had the physical, and like, he's shown a lot of times that he has great technique, but I just feel like he had all this shit in his head and he just never really like put a real fight camp together. Now that he's like actually official, he's just adding on to shit he already had, but he just wasn't willing to use because he was so limited before.
Well, he showed to me something real important, something that even like prior champions don't have, and that's to be able to take a loss, gauge your success, look at what you did wrong, and then take action to improve on that shit. Look at Ronda Rousey. She took two losses. Not to knock on Ronda, but she's on my mind because she went to the Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah,
and like, she takes a loss, and she was at a champion, and she couldn't adjust to that loss. Perry was a hyped prospect.
Took that breaking loss. News! UFC middleweight Yoel Romero considering move to light heavyweight. Fucking knew that was going to happen.
Nice. Let's hope that happens. Breaking news here on the SWAT MMA podcast. Let's hope. Yeah, love to see it.
I want to see Yoel there.
But I'm almost done with Perry here. Just being able to recognize that and then move your ass from Florida. Go somewhere like Jackson Wink. And now he says he wants to come here where he can be near the Performance Institute as well as Extreme Couture. He wants to stay at Jackson Wink for his fight camps.
Oh, he's going to live
here. And then live here in Vegas, access the Performance Institute, and train out of Extreme Couture.
That's smart.
A fucking good plan, man.
Yeah, that's smart.
And you're taking some of that money that he's made. You know, he's taking some of that money that he's made and some of these lessons he learned from getting his ass kicked by Max Griffin and coming out here and doing something with it. And that's some shit that a lot of fighters can't adjust to mentally. A lot of people get their ass kicked like that, and it's just, they're never the same. Look at Ronda as a shining example. Even with what you were telling me, it sounded like she had a pretty sorry, woe is me induction speech, which I didn't get around to watching since you were there for us. I didn't wind up watching the actual thing when you told me what it was about anyways. But keep it on Mike Perry. I'm excited for the future. I don't know if I want to see him fight Curtis Millender because I like to see contenders kind of run a parallel path instead of collide this early. But
eventually everyone's got to fight everybody.
Oh yeah, that coughing you're hearing, if you're listening on the audio, is Paul just took a fat dab here, which I'm about to do the same of in a moment.
But here's my thing with Perry. My thing with Perry's always been that it was never that he wasn't there physically and stylistically. I just feel like he wasn't elite, and he was just so quickly added to the elite fucking group, you know what I mean?
This is very true. I felt they were pushing him a little hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice. Oh yeah. So it's exciting to see him start to get some stuff together.
Yeah.
Curious what happens next as well.
Yeah. Well, everything seems to be trending up for him.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Moving on.
Well, what about this Uriah Hall versus another rising star here, but one with controversy, I say, in Paul Costas.
Because you look at Uriah Hall was winning that fight, the majority of the fight. I thought if that would have went to all the way, Uriah was going to win that.
You mean before he was poked in the eye and kicked in the nuts?
On two different occasions of each.
Right.
In one round. And a you could point even was argue a
third nut shot because there was that one uppercut that really grazed the front of his nutsack. And if you want to be like, oh, that's not much, or really, you go take an uppercut to the tip of your dick and see how it feels. I mean, cup or not. Come on. For real. So, yeah. We're looking at 2.5 nut shots and two eye pokes, and then he gets KO'd.
Only a stop, no point taken. That's rough.
This is terrible for MMA.
Oh, yeah.
At what point do we say enough is enough?
But here's the deal. I'm okay with that finish because I dare him to fight someone like Weidman and try to do that shit. No fucking way, homie.
Yeah, but if you compare this to Which, and we'll get to this in detail later, but DC's flagrant eye poke, and yeah, I'm going to say obviously intentional.
I hate to kick a fucking beat down dog, but the reffing is fucking terrible.
Why can we not deal with this? Yeah. Like, all the message that I saw, like a side story coming out of 226 is, you can certainly get away with at least two eye pokes and one kick to the nuts in every round and just every get round. Warnings. Yep. And how much does that take away from a fighter?
This goes back.
How much was Uriah Hall's balls hurting
yeah.
and eyeball blurry caused that KO to
this
happen?
This goes back to the scoring system as well, though. Because that shouldn't be allowed. And very similar to like Rogan has said a lot of times, whether intentional or not, it should be a point.
Yes.
Because it drastically changes the fucking, the round, the outcome of the round.
You I don't know care if they give you 5 minutes to get over a nut shot. No. Nobody gets over a minor nut shot in 5 minutes, let alone a blow from a professional fighter to your balls.
Yeah, if you get fucking smacked like Uriah Hall did, though, like he got uppercutted in the sack twice.
Yeah.
Like they were not grazing shots. Like.
And then poked in the eye a couple times. Yeah. And then, and then you get KO'd. Like. And he's, you know, he can't sit there and talk about it because then what is the typical MMA fan going to say? Oh, he's a bitch eye pokes. But at the same time, can we not?
At the same time, we got guys like that, and then guys like Ponzinibbio that'll just use that.
Oh, he's another terrible offender. Yeah, it's
just
like
they'll just that's almost.
His fight with Gunnar Nelson, that was like four eye pokes leading to Gunnar Nelson getting knocked the fuck out.
Like fucking knuckle deep in his eyes.
Seriously. nothing. Not even just boom, 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 KO.
Yeah.
Raise his hands. He moves up in the rankings. Gunnar Nelson's eyes are God knows what.
Jacked. Didn't he scratch his cornea?
It's unbelievable. I mean, it's been going on. I mean, look at this dates back to look at Jake Shields versus Paul Harris.
Yeah.
When he was just digging in there, gouging, scratching.
Yeah. That's rough, man.
There was that, it was at the Singapore card where it had the, I can't remember the guy's last name. I think it was Lee, where he just literally went knuckle deep when he was in that submission. No, just went right in there, man.
He went like both hands.
And yeah,
like,
twice.
Yeah. That was rough.
When are we going to deal with this?
I feel like it should be just like any other flagrant foul in any other sport. There should be a fine attached to it.
Yeah, why can't they even get fined after the fact? Like, exactly. How come someone can't say, hey, DC, NFL, that's 50 grand you owe Stipe now?
Well, I don't know about someone else.
Or maybe not owe to them, but owe the league, owe somebody, just like any other sport.
Well, very similar. Like, that just goes back to, man, this sport is not unionized in any way. There's no collective bargaining agreement between the fighters and the ownership.
Well, why can't the UFC in this case step up and enforce some kind of thing? They're going to say that falls on the athletic commission, right?
Yeah, pretty much. But at the same time, it's just like any other sport, man. In basketball, if someone's going up for a layup and you take out their legs, you're getting fined by the league. In football, you tackle someone above the shoulders and fucking rip their head off. You're getting fined by the league.
Even accidental helmet-to-helmet contact.
Yeah, you're getting fined by the league.
I don't understand why the UFC can't step up. They tried to enforce a fighter code of policy or a UFC code of fighter conduct outside of the octagon. Why can't they do something inside the octagon?
It all goes back to it's just stupid, man, because it's just the UFC, when you really look at it as a league, is really still in its infancy. Although we're looking at 25 years, how fucking long has all these different leagues been around, bro? Like, 25 years really is... It's a long time, don't get me wrong, but in the grand scheme of sports, 25 years is shit.
And a lot of those 25 years were in the wild, wild west of next to no regulation. I mean, the UFC just implemented drug testing, however controversial it might be, in the last few years. Same with the controversial uniform policies and a TV deal. I mean, a major TV deal.
Well, you know what the problem with the UFC is? They're not proactive. They're extremely reactive. You know, like, they haven't gone out of their way to set anything like this up in the past. Like, it's always been something where people have to lobby for it and fucking, you know, make a big deal about it. Like, the weigh-ins and fucking all this bullshit. Oh, no. It's just stupid. It's like, why not just get this shit out of the way now and in 5 years from now when everyone wakes up one day and goes, fuck, man, we really don't get paid that much. Or, fuck, man, we really don't have great insurance outside of this, or
we really, you know, are employees.
Yeah, you're fucking employees. Yeah, it's a fucking business, man. You know how much fucking money they're making, man?
Who, the UFC, off the fighters? Off
people's name? Come on. You know they're fucking bringing in the...
Dude, they were still making money. We were just at the UFC Fan Expo. And what did we see? What did we see around there? We saw cutouts of Chuck Liddell versus Tito Ortiz all over the place.
Yeah.
The UFC still trying to ride Golden Boy's idea of bringing them back. The UFC's like, no, we had that originally. These guys are...
And they like still and Chuck their and Tito being came used. To everything from this for the UFC's weekend. Also, Tito was at everything. Chuck was at everything.
And their likeness getting used for nothing while they're out there in what I guess they're both in Golden Boy now. I don't know how that fucking works.
Don't really care. My question is it going to be like a full MMA card or is it going to be like half boxing?
How could he sign so many fighters? MMA? I think he'll just do one fight. Just like this is the fight. How could he? He'd have to sign a lot of fighters. How would
you sell that, dude? That's some fucking Rocky Balboa shit, man.
Right.
Like, one fight, one night.
He's got to do a boxing undercard. That's what he knows and can get a lot of, I would imagine.
I don't know, dude. There's plenty of fighters out there that would take next to nothing to go fight on pay-per-view for free.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, Bellator still gets away with paying their undercard guys $1,000.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Dude, you're who right is it that one chick not too long ago who was on a UFC fight night won the. Remember, she won the bonus, and she said the bonus was the only reason how she could pay for her fight camp.
Yeah. How does this happen?
Like, come on. What are we doing here, people? You gotta start paying these UFC guys.
UFC just sold for $4
billion. $4 billion, yeah. You gotta start paying these guys, seriously. Why is it that boxing is on the decline, and boxing still can have. People making $100 million and no one fucking knows who the hell they are.
I know it. Well, let's get back to this 226 here. Aside from the foul-filled fight, we know that Costas is going to... Obviously, he got the win. He's going to be moving forward here.
Yeah.
How about your boy Anthony Pettis?
Dude, Pettis might just have put himself right back in the mix.
Chiesa came in. Missed weight by several pounds.
He got his black belt from that.
I did.
That's pretty badass.
Oh, yeah, against a guy who, once again, is cheating the system. I'm just going to say it. Look how big Chiesa was. 3 pounds over.
Did you hear the report that came out today?
What's that?
That he fucking said he half killed himself to fucking get a pound and a half next to what he was supposed to weigh. Like, come on, bro.
Don't
fucking
bro.
Wait in that fucking fight in that weight class.
It's 170, dude. Just
go. Just well, go. He said either way that he's no matter how the fight, no matter what the outcome was, he was going to 170. Good. But him going to 170 now, takes him into a weird spot. Because who the fuck's he gonna fight? I see him fighting like Tim Means or like Cowboy Oliveira or something like that. You know, just like doesn't really have. Much going for them, you know?
Anthony.
I don't even know if he beats them either.
No, I don't know either. He's a bit of an unknown. He's up and down.
Yeah.
I mean.
Got choked out by Kevin Lee.
And now Anthony Pettis. And he's supposed to be the submission guy. But Pettis looked good, man. A little bit of a return to form. He's earned himself probably a top 5 fighter. A chance to return to a title shot.
Yeah, I can see him getting like a Justin Gaethje. Now that.
Gaethje beats Vic.
Or maybe, I don't know.
I like that fight, too. That'd be
I don't think Vic's ready for that fight.
I don't think so either. Vic wants to say Gaethje is not UFC level. You're going to be surprised.
You're going to find out, man.
you're going to be really surprised. And I like Vic, and he's got potential, but Gaethje's world class, dude.
See, they should just trade Vic out and put Pettis in there.
That'd be sweet.
Pettis, Gaethje.
I wouldn't complain about
think
that.
Think Pettis would sub him? You think he would take it to the ground?
If he was smart. I don't think he wants to
think Pettis could handle that pressure, though? Those leg kicks.
That's the great unknown right there.
Because Pettis is such an outside the box striker. And then also he fights from the outside also, you know? Like, he does a lot of spinning techniques, switch kicks, flying fucking kicks off the fence, fucking Superman punches, shit like that. And then... He doesn't really get close in the clinch and, you know, throw heavy shots. he's like a long, like, although he's like a normal sized lightweight, like he's an average sized lightweight, he fights a lot longer than he does.
Yeah, he's a long fighter for sure.
Yeah.
A lot from the outside.
It's that Taekwondo background, you know.
You know, another fight I really enjoyed, it's kind of inconsequential ultimately, was Vasaki versus Roundtree.
Oh, bro, that was fucking intense. Was awesome.
I like Khalil Roundtree. He's a local fighter here, too.
I'm just not sure about him still. I told you this on Saturday night also. He's one of those guys to me, it was like Sage Northcutt, where he's like, is he on in the UFC because he's better than everyone else out there? Or is he in the UFC because he did well on the camera and people like him and he got kind of a little push, but then when things started to get rough, he got beat up. And now he's kind of getting he's really catching his stride because he's now catching up to the game. Not to say that, I'm not saying they like that anymore. Sage Northcutt's a much better fighter, and so is Khalil Roundtree now. But in their infancy in the UFC, like their first three fights, well, Roundtree fucking got destroyed in the Ultimate Fighter finale. Literally got shut out. And then I think he's lost, his first two also. Or was it one of his first two? Still, doesn't matter. They had some bumps in the road. But they're really starting to come on. But is he real? That's the question.
He was real enough to beat Saki striking.
Yeah, that's pretty intense.
You know, I thought he was a little foolish as that fight unfolded. I thought he would definitely want to take it to the ground, and he kept wanting to stand.
Dude, he was pressuring Saki.
Yeah, he was.
Saki's another guy though that has to have some kind of, just like Pettis, he's got to fight long to win. Because he's a kickboxer, you know. He's not used to getting close. And fucking Roundtree pressured him, walked him down, though. And just laid one on his chin, bro.
Right on the chin. That was a beautiful thing, though. Interesting to see what happens with him next, but it certainly was a beautiful thing to watch.
Think Saki gets dropped by the UFC?
No way. And it's not because of his skill level. I don't think they want Bellator snatching him up right now.
I don't think that they want his... I don't think they're going to push him anymore, though.
Now, that I could buy into. They might not give him a fucking main card pay-per-view spot anything crazy like that.
They honestly didn't deserve to be on there.
You know, he's going to...
But Roundtree knocking him out definitely was like, okay, he's on the fucking card then, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But on paper, that shouldn't have been on the main card. There are some good fights in that undercard that should have been on the main card. Like, Millender and Griffin could have been the first fight heading into pay-per-view.
That was an excellent fight.
And then, of course, the fucking... Sun Tzu looked great. Saturday. I mean, we knew that was going to happen coming in. But he looked really sharp.
No surprises, but he looked sharp.
Looked sharp.
He did.
But hey, trust me, though. Rob Font's no fucking... he's no slouch either. He showed some things that he can really get in there and compete. You know what I mean? And that's big for bantamweight right now, because bantamweight is very similar to like lightweight and welterweight, where it's like everybody's kind of fought everybody, and we're getting to the top of the division, and there's not a lot of newer guys in there. That's why I think someone like Sean O'Malley is gonna have a really easy time jumping up in those rankings, because he's not going to fight a lot of guys that are seasoned vets until he gets in that like top 10.
Right. He gets a little bit more seasoned along the way, kind of like Connor did along the way. Yeah. Well, that leaves a bit of a disappointing fight for both of us in that main event.
Yeah. Co-main event. The co-main event was terrible.
Well, the co-main event was terrible for a different reason than the main event. The co-main event was just a terrible fight all the way around.
The card started interesting, and it was like, oh, shit, good for Pettis. Oh, shit, Perry. And then it was like, oh, wow, this fight's terrible. Oh, Steve, what the fuck?
Yeah, we're no fans of DC on this podcast.
Don't get me wrong. I respect DC as a fighter.
Well, sure, you can't deny he's a champion, great fighter.
But I don't like him as a person, just based off of other shit.
Neither do I. I don't like, and I really, really, really don't like that.
But then again, I'm also a diehard John Jones fan.
Mm-hmm. Same here.
Yeah.
We're open with our fan bias here, but
yeah, I'm not gonna lie, dude. Man. I'm biased as fuck, and if you don't like it, sorry.
If you haven't seen the video of the eye poke,
oh, that was rough, bro.
We'll post it below. There's a Twitter also, link. It was a flagrant.
Why does it look like after the fight that Stipe fought a fucking tiger, dog? Like his fucking face was just cut, like scratches all over.
It was a flagrant.
Oh, dude, did you just get into a fucking fight with a goddamn samurai? Like his fucking face looked like it just cuts everywhere, and it's not like he was peppering him or anything.
No, you can see it in slow motion. He literally flicked. He had his elbow up in the air, flicked out, and then flicked his fingers right into his eyeballs. It wasn't an attempted punch. It wasn't like how John Jones has his hands out a lot of times measuring things, and he's got
his
fingers open.
Jones does get away with a lot of eye pokes.
No, he uses that, yeah. This wasn't, but it wasn't where you could say, well, no, I was doing that.
Yeah, no,
he flicked his fucking hands.
He did multiple
his
jabs
eyeball.
Where he was just.
It was
like,
unbelievable.
You know, like
we both
times.
Saw it in the fight, and then
yeah, it was rough.
He got laid out by a right hand in the same eye. I mean, it's the same side of the face that his eye had just been poked in.
Yeah,
and he got, and it looked like
he was losing that fight.
DC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was losing that.
He was losing that fight, and then he flew a flagrant eye poke.
Yeah. Once he started losing, is when he started doing it.
That's why I don't understand. People don't call. Just like he cheated to make weight at UFC 210, and somehow he gets this pass. Like everybody chuckles. Oh. That rascally Daniel Cormier. All right, that.
This is part of the podcast where I go deep on you, dog.
Well,
DC will never, ever, ever be the greatest of all time.
Oh, he's saying he is.
I don't give a fuck what happened on Saturday. I don't give
DC,
a fuck
I'm
what happens against Brock Lesnar. He will never be the greatest of all time.
Tell us why. You don't think so?
Dude, I mean, just straight up. Resume.
Two-time champion now. Just a little
two-time
eye poke
champion,
here and there. A missed weight here and there.
What else happened two times in his life?
He lost to John Jones.
Twice. Yeah, that's who the fucking GOAT is.
Yeah, no
John
contest
Jones,
my ass.
And the scariest part of all this, John Jones very likely could just be getting started.
Yeah,
he's
DC's
only 30.
A decade older than John Jones, basically.
He's only 30. So let's say John Jones gets past all this. Who cares how much money, how much glory he already has? What if he's just like, you know what? I really want to fight for like the next until I want to get back the years I lost and fights until he's 40.
No. Even if he did half of that and fought till he was 35,
he is going
he could, to. He could go on a tear.
He could go on a like. Can't just based off that because DC is going to fight Brock and retire. Honestly.
Well, DC is going to say he's the GOAT because he's a 2-time champ.
Unless. My boy Yoel comes up to 205.
Champ.
And fucks DC up. I can see that happening, honestly.
I can see that happening, too.
I can see Yoel.
So. I hope Brock fucks him up. It won't happen,
DC.
But it'd be a. Oh,
yeah,
it'd
no,
be
fuck
joyous.
Brock is irrelevant.
Dude, okay, what's up with DC?
Hold on. But legitimately, this is why John Jones is.
Oh, yeah, tell us. Finish your goal.
Let's just talk the resume.
Tell us about the resume.
DC, you got Mir Nelson Cummings. Henderson, Anthony Johnson twice, Gustafsson, Anderson Silva when he's 41.
Wasn't Hendo
Volkan
that same age
Ozdemir,
too, like 40?
Yeah, he's 2 40-year-old.
And
like,
weighed in at like 182.
Yeah, and they fought fucking light heavyweight.
Yeah.
And then Stipe last night, and possibly, let's just give him Brock Lesnar on there too. Just for the sake of argument,
Brock Lesnar,
just to spice his resume up,
okay.
Because the best fighter on his resume, bar none, is fucking Gustafsson at this point. Who's better than Gustafsson right there?
Because it was old man Anderson and it was old man Hendo. So
I mean, you can make your argument for Anthony Johnson, but Gustafsson and Anthony Johnson are right there. You know.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then you go to Jones. You got Stephen Bonner, Brandon Vera, Matrashenko. Ryan Bader, Shogun, Rampage, Machida, Rashad, Vitor Belfort, Chael Sonnen, Gustafsson, Glover, DC 2 times, and OSP.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't give a fuck who you give me as the greatest of all time. Based on when he was alive, just based off luck of being alive during that time and being in the UFC at that time makes him the greatest of all time because he defeated the division that had the
all
biggest stars for the first 15 years the UFC was around.
Yeah, Shogun was champ when
the light heavyweight division was the fucking division for the longest.
And all those dudes were
all those guys
right near the pinnacle.
John Jones just came in and slayed them all. Literally.
One right after the other.
One after the other. Because then what happened after Rampage lost to Jones? Never the same. Machida after Jones? Never the same. Rashad after Jones? Never the same. Vitor's always been up and down. Chael ends up out of the UFC after that. Gustafsson, that was a fucking great fight. And Gustafsson still has not... He's still wishing he was for the title. Mm-hmm. He could have beat DC, honestly. He fucked up there.
Absolutely.
And then Glover's fucked. DC, literally, I mean, it's probably the only guy on this list that is still improving since he lost to Jones. Everyone else
is Jones has two wins, the last one being an emphatic knockout. Oh, yeah.
The last one being an emphatic knockout fucking like 12 months ago. Right. Like, this was not... Oh,
no, this was recent.
But Jones, you know, he beat him in 2015. Yeah, he did beat him in 2015. Oh, yeah, and then he beat him in 2017 again.
Well, Paul, what about those people that say he was on steroids? Those are people steroids. That do not
first
know
of all,
the
first
facts.
Of all, the first fight, he was not on steroids. He was on coke. Coke is not a PED. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. Coke is not a performance-enhancing drug, and he wasn't doing coke on fight night. So it's not he's, like, sniffing lines and heading out to the octagon.
Right.
It was a party he was going to before the event. Yep. And whatever, fuck it. What are you going to say about it? He fucking... Went and did a couple lines.
They weren't even supposed to test for
it. He did a couple lines, did a couple rounds, you know.
This is not as shocking
as... Ends up light heavyweight champion, just like the life of being Jon Jones, where you just don't give a fuck. When you're, 26 and you're at the top of your game. And
people that are shocked by this are either...
Yeah, you're stupid.
Either really prude or dude, just fooling yourselves. I mean, come on.
You ever heard of... You know who Michael Irvin is? He used to be a wide receiver for the Cowboys.
I'm well aware who Michael Irvin is. Yes.
Yeah, dude, that fool used to go on 3-month coke binges between the off season and the next season.
Right.
Come back home the week before the NFL minicamp started and just head to fucking... He went to my church and told all of us his stories, dude. He's fucking crazy.
Absolutely.
You think fucking Jon Jones gives a fuck about some partying? No fucking way. You don't think anybody... What about Mike Tyson? You don't think Mike Tyson ever fucking partied while he was fighting?
Of course he did.
Get the fuck out of here.
It's just people don't want to admit it.
People nowadays are just pussies at the end of the day, man. Everyone wants to think everyone's just a straight athlete.
Or they
want to
be assholes like DC and call, oh, Jon Jones is a junkie. Junkie. Yeah. Sandblasting prostitutes. Junkie. God, I was annoying the shit out of him. I was like, you think this is a fucking nice guy is out there saying this bullshit? Like, yeah. Come on, man.
Well, it's like, at the end of the day, who doesn't party?
Seriously, act like it's the most shocking
like,
thing.
Act like
oh
just
my
because
God.
He's a fucking greatest fighter of all time, he can't fucking throw a couple back and hang out with his homies sometimes.
Seriously.
You know? Smoke a couple joints. Like, what the fuck's wrong with that?
You can go to pretty much any college campus, any party here in Vegas, and it's not going to be shocking if somebody breaks out some fucking coke. And we don't hang around fucking wealthy people all the time. You think it's shocking when you're famous and you're Jon Jones? Of course
and
you're going to be around
someone has coke
that.
Around you? No, fucking way.
And he's a grown man.
Yeah, he's a grown-ass man.
To do.
Make his own decisions.
It doesn't affect his in-the-cage stuff. And then people
and like,
say,
it's stupid, though, because it's like people, like, the way the reaction to it was like, literally, like I just said, like he was just... Hitting lines in the fucking in the back instead of hitting the pads, and he's just fucking heading out there. Just all right, let's do this.
On the way in. Come on.
Like no, it was like trace amounts. Like everything with Jon Jones so far has been trace amounts.
Trace
so
amounts from
a dick
pill.
Dick, honestly,
trace amounts of
with
coke.
That shit.
And then this latest actual steroid is the tiny amount that's found out of three tests. One test shows that. Nanoparticles of a fucking steroid. It makes no sense for him to take it all. Which USADA has come out and said it would give no benefit if you were to just take it.
Yeah.
And then some people want to say, oh, but he was on steroids. No, he wasn't. And look, come on. Get the fuck out of here.
And then he's like, oh, but what about when he was super buff? Yeah, it's because Jon Jones was straight powerlifting and not fucking running. What the fuck's happened when he started running again and training again?
He thinned out.
Anybody who stops training and starts lifting with an athletic body is going to get big.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fucking...
Increase your calories,
like,
start
come
lifting
on.
Heavy weight, slow reps.
He had 18 months
go.
Off the first time he was fucking in his shit. Like, things didn't start getting rolling for him until 18 months after.
Right.
And then DC got hurt, and then he fought OSP, and then he fucking was out for much longer after that. You don't think he's gonna gain some fucking weight sitting around and fucking waiting for court cases to be handled? Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, that's just stupid. That's just ignorance. Like, literally. People just want to act like everyone's a fucking... Like, sorry, your role models are fucking people at the end of the day also.
And this is cage fighting.
Yeah.
These people aren't going out talking about... This isn't the Big Brother program. He's not out there trying to be a role model for children. He's a cage fighter. He's a
fucking cage fighter. He's not supposed to... I mean, great. If he does things for kids, it's great. But it's not his fucking job at the end of the day.
No, it's not.
He can do whatever the fuck he wants, honestly.
And if I'm a parent, which I am, and my kid is looking to John Jones as a role model and sees him do coke,
what the fuck are you doing, you idiot? I'd be
like, it's a cage fighter. He does coke like a lot of people. Doesn't give a fuck. Yeah. Doesn't give a fuck. It's not good. You shouldn't do it.
It's not good. Never do
it.
Look
at all the trouble he just got in.
If you... That's the problem. Goes back to all the reasons why these things are like this. Because people don't know how to parent their fucking kids, so they just fucking, you know, they're just like, oh, that person's bad, so he's going to ruin my kid's life. Nah, maybe if you're fucking there for your kid, he's not going to look at fucking John Jones all day and fucking be like, oh yeah, he's a great fighter and does coke, I'm going to do coke. Right. No fucking way, that doesn't happen.
But we bring back Charles Barkley's, I ain't no role model.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Please. So now we had...
Michael Jordan's a good person? Get the fuck out of here! Michael Jordan's the biggest scumbag in the world, but no one will deny that, like, he's one of the greatest basketball players of all time.
And that's why we like him.
Exactly.
The athletic ability. That's why we like John Jones here on this podcast. John Jones is like Michael Jordan. Athletic ability is the cage. We'll talk about the cage.
Yeah, fucking... Jones is nasty, bro.
Absolutely.
He will never not be the GOAT to me. Unless he comes back and loses to DC. He loses to DC at heavyweight, it's a different story. But we're talking if things just ended up like this, DC beats Brock, rides off into the sunset. DC is not the GOAT. Because then Jones comes back. Maybe he fights Stipe too and then just clears out the whole heavyweight division. That very well can happen.
Yeah, he's got years ahead of him. Years.
Like, legit. John Jones could come back. You think Overeem's going to fuck with Jones? No way. Think Werdum's fucking with Jones? No way. Think Volkov's fucking with Jones? No fucking way. No one is fucking with him. And you think if DC can fucking do that to Stipe, what the fuck you think John Jones will do to Stipe? Absolutely. He will fuck him up. Get out of here with this shit.
He will need an eye poke
John
to
Jones
do it,
is the fucking GOAT. Yeah, he probably will just for sport. He
probably will poke the eye, but...
Just for sport. And then fucking oblique kick him. Just because DC thought he saw it coming,
right,
and beat him with an oblique kick instead of a head kick like DC.
So we got DC poking the eye, then he gets the right hand knockout after poking the left eye,
and then he gets pushed by Lesnar.
Then he takes the mic from Joe Rogan with this, to me, absolutely obviously staged cringeworthy.
Because
promotion.
Well, no, here's the thing: what made it so stupid though is like before the fight, they're like, "Oh, look who's in the audience tonight! It's Brock Lesnar."
Oh, my goodness!
It's like out of nowhere, he just happens to appear in the audience right before the main event. Like, oh wow, that wasn't obvious at all.
So I guess we're getting that. We're getting DC versus Lesnar. Only
DC
now
shows up on Monday Night Raw.
Now DC saying he wants to fight, of all people, Shogun at light heavyweight, which I don't want to. Please beat an over-the-hill Shogun now.
Yoel,
I'll get excited about. Do that.
Yoel, and I think you could sell him, Yoel. Because here's the thing. This DC in the post-fight press conference, here's what he said. He's like, well, everyone wants me to fight people, but I'm at the point in my career where I don't have many fights left in me, and it's time to make some money. And he said, that's why Brock makes sense. And then they go, okay, well, then what about Gustafsson? He's like, well, I fought Gustafsson. He's a hell of a fighter. He'd probably give me a hell of a time again. But we didn't make any money, so no. Jones, I'll fight Jones. I'll fight Brock. Yoel would make money.
Hmm.
Because you have two of probably the greatest wrestlers next to Henry Cejudo in MMA ever.
Oh, that'd be exciting.
It would be a great fight. And they both are dynamite on the feet.
Be pretty interesting to see him fight Yoel and then go wrestle Brock. He probably beats Lesnar.
Dude, that's the best way for him to go out. Beat the two best wrestlers that, quote-unquote, in the UFC. Because right. I think Henry Cejudo's the best wrestler to be in the UFC ever. But Brock's a hell of a wrestler back in the day. I don't really know what he's got anymore. But Yoel still got it. no matter what.
Yeah, for sure. That'd be an exciting fight. Let's hope that happens.
Yeah, well, DC is the fight to me.
We got a lot of exciting fights on the horizon still out here. That's cool. We got to deal with DC, I guess, holding both belts. I don't know if DC is going to strip him of one like Conor or let him do
this shit. I honestly see them stripping him the light heavyweight title. That's me.
I hope unless, they do, honestly.
I don't know, because I just don't think he waits around for Brock either. And if Brock denies his drug testing request, he's not going to sit there and wait all day for him. He's going to fight two other people and bounce. He said March 2019 is the last.
Right, he's
the
been last saying time that for a take, minute now.
Yeah. He'll take a fight.
So, we'll see if he said holds if
Jones
up.
Comes back by then, he wants Jones after Brock.
Jones will be back soon. We should find out soon.
But I here's hope. The thing. So, if Lesnar makes him wait till January, then that's his last fight.
Yeah, he can't. Why would he squeeze in a fight with Shogun prior to that? I don't like that either. Let's hope
that's
that doesn't
how you
happen.
Get beat, homie.
There's a chance that Brock's been that's in that testing pool.
Well, no, that's how you get beat by Shogun. Oh, yeah. It's just trying to squeeze in an easy fight you think is just going to warm you up, and then you get beat by a real veteran.
That'd be some shit.
Could happen.
I'd love it.
Could happen to the
best. If he went down and got beat by Shogun, that would be hilarious. Of course, he'd still be the heavyweight champion.
Shogun would be the fucking man, and then John Jones comes back and just dusts him again.
Right. That'd be crazy. Dude.
Jones, that's Jones's return, bro. That's the story the UFC wants to sell. If Shogun beats DC, that's why they're making that fight. They're going to return with John Jones reemerging as light heavyweight champ, defeating Shogun 20 years later.
You heard it here first.
Oh, shit.
That's hilarious, man. Good old marijuana talking. Hell yeah, Shogun.
Shogun
Jones
will be dethroned by John Jones in 2019.
That's hilarious.
Mark my fucking words.
Well,
probably the dumbest prediction I've ever made. Oh shit.
Well, I think that about wraps today's episode.
Hell yeah.
It's been good. It's been a great weekend of fights here, man. I had a really good time going out to all these events. International Fight Week here in Vegas is always hella cool.
Yeah,
man.
It was a really good time.
We got some exciting stuff coming up here soon. We got some amateur fights coming up that seem pretty exciting, too. We got a Tough Enough event here later on in July. We're going to be trying to get some fighters join us here on the podcast soon for that, hopefully.
That'll be dope.
And we're always excited to go out and watch the local guys put on a show here, 100%. Too, as well. Thanks, everybody, for listening. If you're not a subscriber already, please, if you're watching on YouTube, hit the subscribe button. Ding that little bell so you get notified when new episodes are ready. Check us out on iTunes, we're on Google Play, all that fun stuff.
All that bullshit.
All the info is at SWATMMA.com. I think with that said, me and Paul are going to get back to hitting this fine little rig right here, this CBD and this shatter we got. You all take it easy, folks. Peace. All right.